Last week, the Manchester mayor of Borden Alderman voted to require that drivers for the ride booking service Uber comply with the city's taxi ordinances or stop operating in the city. Uber has run into opposition in a number of cities and states. It recently announced it would stop operating in Kansas, for example, but in other places it's found a great deal of support, including some on Capitol Hill. Dave Leventhal is a senior reporter with the Center for Public Integrity in Washington, D.C., which recently analyzed campaign spending records related to Uber. He joins me with some of what he's learned. Hi there.
Hey, great to be with you, Brady.
Uber's service is somewhat new and somewhat traditional. What about when it comes to lobbying and making political contributions? How traditional or non-traditional is the company in those regards?
The company is not very traditional in the sense that it's been able to unite Democrats and Republicans behind its business. There's a veritable Uber caucus. We found that there were more than 275 political campaigns, political committees at the federal level alone that had used Uber services during the 2014 campaign, some spending well into the four, even five-figure amounts, all while Uber is really just plastering the country with lobbyists, to some degree campaign donations, and really trying to make its presence felt both at state houses across the country and in Capitol Hill here in Washington, D.C.
Some of the names that I saw in your report looking at some of the campaign contribution records and some of the people who have worked or are paid by Uber are names that also come up in the context of the New Hampshire presidential primary.
You could tick a whole bunch off of the Republican National Committee, the Democratic National Committee, their counterparts for both senatorial and House campaigns. And then you have guys like Jim Messina, close, one of the closest aides that you could ever have to President Obama, a lead executive in a Hillary Clinton super PAC, who also is advising Uber. David Plouffe, one of the top Obama advisors for many years, he's working for Uber too. And even in New Hampshire, Uber's lobbyist that's working in the State House, a guy by the name of Jim Merrill, who was a Mitt Romney advisor back a couple of years ago.
What do critics of Uber's lobbying efforts and campaign contributions say?
Well, they effectively say Uber has been incredibly aggressive in trying to get rules and regulations written in a way that is going to be favorable to them. Not exactly surprising for a company that wants to make money, to run a business, and to expand very, very rapidly. At the same time, too, the critics say, well, look, we understand this is a free market, that capitalism is probably going to rule the day. They just seem to want politicians to be cognizant of the fact that there are these criticisms out there.
You talked with an analyst who looked at Uber's effect on politicians and their staff members, and here's the quote from his analysis: the nature of oversight changes when someone is both regulator and consumer.
Absolutely. And in his opinion, he felt that many politicians are really playing for Team Uber, and that's a credit to Uber for being able to, number one, have a very effective government relations effort, and number two, have a product simply that's been able to attract so many politicians. Hey, look, if Uber wasn't good, politicians wouldn't be using it. They wouldn't be spending their precious campaign dollars on a service that didn't work or wasn't effective. So they're doing something right. At the same time, too, there is going to be issues that will continue to come up because Uber is such a young company. It's only been around for 6 years. It's not like the railroad or the airlines that have been around for decades and decades, and regulatory work is largely shaken out in terms of the way those companies run. Or really, the book is being written on Uber right in the here and now, and as a result, the politicians who are using Uber have a lot of power to determine exactly what those rules and regulations are going to look like in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years.
Dave Leventhal of the Center for Public Integrity in Washington, thanks as always for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.